This morning, I will be reading Genesis 12, verses 1 through 4. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your land, your family, and your father's household for the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation and will bless you. I will make your name respected and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Those who curse you, I will curse. All the families of the earth will be blessed because of you." Abram left just as the Lord told him, and Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. This is the word of God for the people of God.
And will you all join me in prayer? O loving and holy God, may we engage your word this morning, learn something new, but more than that, be transformed by the words you share in Holy Scripture. We love you, God. May our hearts be ever opened as we meditate on your word. Amen. Well, we have had outstandingly beautiful music today. But even so, I have been infected with an earworm. That even in the midst of all the beautiful music is still there. You all know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about an earworm. It's not a physical, gnarly thing that really is in the ear. It's an expression to mean any song or tune that keeps going on and on through your mind. And of late, I have been infected with an earworm. Yea, verily, this earworm comes from the last decade of last century, the age of grunge, musically, you might say. But it's really a pop song that has somehow infected my thoughts. It comes from a band from Minneapolis, Semisonic, and actually was probably their biggest hit, and just keeps going through my head all the time. And the name of that song is Closing Time. All right? Now you might be thinking, now why would that be going through your mind, Rev Kev? For that is a song that's all about a last call at a bar. And yes, it is on the surface, but I think that song has a great deal of meaning underneath. And we can talk more about that after the service. All I want to lift up is the one line, the one lyric that keeps coming back to me. It's a lyric that's repeated several times, and that is this: every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end. Today, I have the honor and the privilege to share celebration of new beginnings and celebrating beginnings end. And to help us in that celebration, we are engaging that same scripture that I used on June 29th, 2014, when I first preached here. That scripture from Genesis that Brian shared with you. Actually, I truncated it. I went the full 9 verses last time. But it's a story of new beginning for Abram, his wife Sarai, and their family as God calls them to something more. Now, as is my habit, I've got to share with you a little background story because it's important. Sometimes we come to Genesis 12 and we notice, well, there's a big change from what went on before and how the story is being told. And it seems like all of a sudden Abram just pops in out of nowhere, but he comes from somewhere. And just a few verses before in the previous chapter, in chapter 11, they talk about that. Abram is the son of a man named Terah. Terah, who comes from Ur of Chaldeans, ancient Mesopotamia, the Fertile Crescent, the very essence, the beginning of ancient civilization. And Terah is facing a life change. He has lost his son, Haran. And because of that loss, he decides it is time that we move. And so Terah packs up his belongings and he takes with him Abram and Sarai and his grandson, the son of Haran, and Abram's and Sarai's nephew, Lot, which I've also heard pronounced Lot. I can't think of whole load of love. Anyway. And they pack up and they move. And they move to the very edge, the very tip of the Fertile Crescent into a town that, ironically enough, is named Haran. The same name as his dead son. It's still a new beginning for this family. And as Terah settles there with Abram and Sarai and Lot, and they're all their flocks, all their everything that they've got, they start to make a home there in Haran. They start to meet the people there. They start to form friendships. They start to barter with them in business. They start to also worship the gods that are part of that city of Haran. And I say gods that end with an S because that's who they were. They were polytheistic. They worshiped many gods, right? And at the ripe age of 205, I'd have to go way early for that, 205, Terah died. And what Abram and Sarai and Lot did is they remained, which is what you did. You remained on your father's place, and you kept taking care of business. That's how you remembered family. And they lived life to the fullest. And then the Lord, I say again, then the Lord, the one true God, speaks to Abram and says, stay and live long and prosper in Haran and live there all your days with your wife and with your nephew and live well. Right? What is that, a yes or no, church? No, right? God says, go, leave. Leave your family, leave your home, leave everything, and go to a place that I will show you. Wow. And then you will become blessed to be a blessing. So Abram and Sarai, and I lift them together because Sarai is his partner, together they do an amazing thing. They actually go and follow God's command to go and leave. Even though they don't know where they're going, they're going to be led by God to a place that they're going to show them. And I'm always amazed by their faithfulness and obedience. Aren't you? Biblical scholar Marty Solomon of Bema Discipleship says that a lot of scholars believe that Abram possessed something that God was looking for in people. And that something was chutzpah. Say that with me, chutzpah. There was a burning in his belly, a powerful confidence. And surely there was, because Abram and Sarai both possessed the will to go where God would take them on the biggest journey that kept on going for the rest of their lives. Now, that doesn't mean that the journey was easy. How many of you have read the book of Genesis? I'm not trying to out those of you that haven't. But just to let you know, it's pretty dicey. Not once, but twice they move to a place that's a little hostile. And Abram, out of fear, says, hey, pretend you're not my wife, Sarai, but be my sister, in case the ruler of this region, you know, wants you. Now, it's a little bit more nuanced than that. I'll leave you to read that, though. Doesn't it sound exciting? And then there's this whole thing about Abram and Sarai being promised a son, but Sarah is barren, so they lose patience, and Sarai goes, here's my maid Hagar, Abraham, go in and give me a son. And then they kick him out. Read more about that. Homework. Read more about that. Just to say that the journey wasn't easy. But you know what? Abram and Sarai continued on that journey, and they were transformed by that journey. Even their name changed. Abram became Abraham. Sarai became Sarah. And you might not think that's a big thing. That's a big thing. They became new people, transformed in God's love. And they changed the world because they were blessed to be a blessing. And they became the father and mother of the Hebrew people. Their new beginning came from God. At the end of the beginning that Terah had set out for them. And the world changed. 1,000 years later, Jesus, the resurrected Christ, is with his followers. And he implores them to go and make disciples of the world. And when he does, he tries to tell them, you don't just do it here. You don't do it in the church you have locally. You're here in Jerusalem. I expect you to go to Judea and Samaria and to all the world. And they were empowered to do that. How? By what we talked about last week, the coming of the Holy Spirit, which anointed their hearts and allowed them to begin preaching and to do wonders and to go out and heal people and to share good news of Jesus Christ. You see, there are multiple changes going on here. When the disciples met Jesus, they weren't coming out of nowhere. They had lives, they had wives, they had kids, they had all sorts of things going on. But that life ended and a new life with Jesus began. And then their Lord physically left them, ascended into heaven. But that doesn't mean Jesus wasn't with them, because then came the gift of Holy Spirit. And in that ending of that physical presence, then the beginning of the presence of the awesome Holy Spirit. New beginnings. And with every beginning, it comes from some other beginnings in. Today, I celebrate with you new beginnings. On July 2nd will be your first Sunday with your new pastor, Pastor John Spalding and his wife Denise. And they are awesome. I've known John for over 15 years. We've had some good adventures together. And he is a pastor that comes to you with a lot of ministerial experience, pastor experience. He's actually pastored some of the biggest churches in our conference. And he's coming here, and he has got an enthusiasm and an energy that's infectious, and that's in a good way. He is an exciting pastor, and you're going to love him. And Denise is so amazing, too. She has so much experience in mission and in youth ministry, and she comes here filled with passion as well. And they're going to do amazing things. And I and Tammy are going to be watching with excited eyes to see where Harrisonville United Methodist Church is going to go under their shepherding, under their leadership. What I do know is that Jesus is going to do something amazing. I really, really, truly believe that. And I'm so looking forward to that. Tammy and I will keep track of that as your friends on Facebook and social media. Just to see, and just prayers of joy for what God is going to be doing. And Tammy and I are celebrating that this is our beginning's end. By the way, the sermon title, the same as it was back in the day. But this is our beginning's end. But man, what a great 9 years. And you know, Tammy and I love you. What other church do we come to that within a week we start renovations? It's like, I just got here. But the place changes all around us. Not that it changed immediately. It took a little while, right? And so things happen, but it's not only that, but But man, just think of all the things that have gone on with our children, children's time, children's church, vacation Bible camp, vacation Bible school, with our youth and confirmation, and all the different youth ministries that we've got, including alpacas. That's another story. But there's just been some amazing things there. Our adult small groups and Sunday schools that have been going on that have been awesome, and even meeting online because we went through a pandemic together, right? And then the service that we've done, not only in Harrisonville through the thrift store and the food pantry and the mission here, but also in a partnership with Bright Futures, with Wildcat Academy, and ongoing service with them, and also mission trips to Sierra Leone. This church has done amazing things over the last 9 years. And how about worship here in this place with our awesome choir and our awesome praise team? And now worship in a coffee shop where we are connecting with the disconnected in a Jesus-centered life. It is amazing. And Tammy and I love you for these last 9 years. Mighty amazing. Every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end. And I am excited about your new beginning. In the weeks to come, we'll have our hymn sing next week, and we'll have some guest preachers here. Stephen's going to preach on Papa's Day, and Ellen is going to be preaching on the last. It will be her first sermon in this place, although she's preached at the table a few times and done an awesome job. Friends, I just want to let you know that as your pastor, this is my last Sunday with you. I am pastor of record through the end of the month. If there are any pastoral emergencies or something, just let me know. Although I will be traveling and working hard and transitioning to the new pastor, so you won't see me much. And then, of course, come July, I'm not your pastor anymore. Tammy is not. You've never been a pastor's wife, have you? No. But I will say that we will always be your friends because we love you. And so, from now on, just keep on doing what you're doing. And you know what you do really well? You follow those Wesleyan three rules. You know what those are? You do no harm, or at least you try not to. You do good, an amazing amount of good. And you do attend upon the ordinances of God, or better put, perhaps in our day, in the parlance of our times, you stay in love with God. Continue to do that. Shine your light bright. And Tammy and I will keep watching and praying and loving what you're doing through Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.